evening and welcome to another edition of Midwest Beat. I'm Tom Lounge as your host, and this show is usually strictly about music, and I take care of the arts on my afternoon Friday show. But tonight, I'm so excited about the new season at the Memorial Opera House, my favorite place to see live productions, that we're going to spotlight tonight, the 2017 season at the MOH. With me in studio, I've got the amazing Scott McDonald. And we'll be talking about all the different shows coming through, especially a bonus show that's not part of the normal season, featuring Mr. Ed Asner. We're going to open things up in just a few minutes. We'll play some music from some of the productions. We'll talk about the producers, which kicks things off this coming weekend. And we'll just talk about all the big changes. And there's been a lot of them at Memorial Opera House. It's all up next. Good evening, I'm Tom Lounges. It's time to check out what's happening at the Memorial Opera House on this week's edition of Midwest Beat. Memorial Opera House has been undergoing some wonderful renovation in the last few years, and most recently, the Grand Old Lady of Local Theater has gotten herself a makeover. That's right, just like the actors on her stage, she's gotten a little bit of a touch-up. And we're happy to say that it looks like the Memorial Opera House is going to be around for quite some time. We've got some great curators taking care of her. And this year, we've got a great season in store. And it starts off February 17th with The Producers, a classic play that, it's a musical, that was written by the great Mel Brooks. In studio with us, Scott P.J. McDonald. He has been a past guest on my Friday program, A Look at the Arts, but this is his first time here at Midwest Beat because we are just going to go all out and talk about this whole wonderful organization on how it's run, on what's going on, and all the different functions that Memorial Opera House brings to the arts community of Northwest Indiana. Scott, thank you for coming.
It is my absolute pleasure, and I am so happy to see you.
Not used to seeing you here at night.
I know.
Usually you're the afternoon
exactly.
guy.
Exactly. The dim lighting is good, though, you know.
Memorial Opera House has been my favorite place to go since I discovered it probably about 7 years ago,
sure.
8 years ago. I think a lot of us discovered it then because
yep.
it was a secret.
Yeah, it really was.
123-year-old secret.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. It was one of Valparaiso's best-kept secrets until probably 3 or 4 years ago. We really got on the map and really took off. And it's so exciting to see all of the great things happening. We've got such high patron engagement now. We, of course, just had the makeover in the auditorium, which we'll talk about, which is absolutely stunning.
It is. It's beautiful. In fact,
what a
change. You go on the Facebook page, you can see some little pictures along with Scott's picture on our little What's Going On Here Tonight segment. So there's and you can go see new shots on the website as well?
Not yet. We're working on getting those up. So.
All right. If at any point in tonight's program you get inspired to see some of these great productions we're talking about, or even we'll mention some of the concerts too, go online at mohlive.com, or you can just do the formal one, which is Memorial Opera House Live. What we're going to do here is we're going to talk about the Grand Old Lady herself. This theater, for those that are not familiar with it, was built about 123 years ago.
124, actually.
4 years ago.
1893. So we're coming up on our 125th anniversary.
Wow.
November 11th of next year will be our 125th.
Now, this is
so
an original
excited.
Opera house. Back in the day when they didn't have electricity yet?
Yeah, it was fully gas run
wow.
and heated by stoves and furnaces.
That's crazy.
The Grand Armory, I know. It's impossible to believe. The sconces are actually the posts where the gas lines used to run. You can still see those in our walls. I have one in my office that we use as like a coat rack because there's no gas in the lines anymore.
Right.
It's just so cool, and it's walking into living history every day. There's so little that's changed about the structure of the building. Other than there were some balconies that ran along the sides of the walls in the auditorium that were taken down, I want to say, in the 60s because they were deemed unsafe.
Okay.
And the theater
– were they more like catwalks?
No, they were actually seated balconies. So if you're looking at the stage where we have the proscenium arch and then the two loge boxes, which are the grand boxes on the side of the stage – there were balconies that ran all the way along the side there.
Wow.
The windows were blocked out. And they ran all the way to our balcony that we have, the upper balcony.
Right. Which now has its own bar. We'll get to that, too.
It does. and actually, that room went a little further back And the room where the upstairs lounge is now was the original meeting post for the Grand Army of the Republic, which is where the Sons of the Union Vets of the Civil War still meet to this day, their descendants.
Wow.
My office was actually the men's room. So, you know, moving right up in the world.
There you go.
And then the downstairs lounge was the women's auxiliary room and kind of a seating parlor. And
it has that parlor feel.
It does have that parlor feel. And then the box office was the ticket office.
And the box office has just been remodeled as well. Mm-hmm. It's much easier to get in there for will call and buy tickets. There's like more room for everyone to stand. Multiple lines can form.
Yep. We ripped out the counter and just put in two kiosks that are actually mobile, so we can set those up pretty much anywhere in the theater if we want.
Now, why is it that after all these years, and I mean, it was operational for a number of years before you guys came in, but the last, as you mentioned, three or four, we've seen a lot of things going on, from structural repair to the foundation to the roof, and now it's come inside, and you're doing the painting, and you're doing the new sound and new lights and the new director's box. I mean, so much stuff is happening. What prompted all this? Why now?
I think a lot of it had to do with we really wanted to start focusing on the patron experience. There was a lot of years that I think the focus was actually on whether or not the staff was having a good time with doing this and what was important to the staff. And when I came on board and when Trinidad Snyder was on board and, you know, with Commissioner Blaney, and we have a great relationship with the county council now, we kind of wanted to recenter to what really drives us, and that's the patrons. Without them, we got nothing. So we really are focusing on making that patron experience as great as we possibly can.
And you're involving them.
Involving them. We've engaged them. You know, we asked them to select our season last year, and all of the shows that were the top-ranked shows were our 2016 season. And then the shows that we couldn't get rights for that were like the close seconds and thirds, that's this season.
Okay.
So that's still carrying over, and we want to hear from them. We love talking to our patrons. Stacy, our front of house manager, I think she knows every single person that comes through that door.
I think she
name.
Knows my voice when I call.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't have to say who I am.
She just, hello, Tom. You know, she's on it. And it's just, it's so, so exciting to see that. And all the tech needs that we've upgraded through and, you know, the new tech director's box and even the orchestra pit upgrade that we just did, all of that's from grant funding. So rather than going to the county constantly and saying, gimme, 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 we're finding other sources of funding to become less of a burden on the county and, of course, on the taxpayers.
Well, it sounds like you have put together a great team.
Oh, man.
That now actually understands the concept of maintaining a nonprofit situation.
Yeah. There's 13 of us on staff, and two of us are full-time, myself and Stretch. Are the only full-timers. Everybody else is part-time or like a paid volunteer, essentially. And I couldn't be happier. I couldn't be any luckier. We had a strategic planning session this last Saturday, and the number one thing that everybody in that room said that drives them and why they keep coming back to the Opera House and why they do what they do is the passion for it to succeed. And that, I think, is what was sorely lacking for a number of years. It was just like, let's stumble this thing through and see what happens.
When they actually talked of tearing it down.
There was.
What a travesty that would
It would have been devastating. It would have been absolutely devastating. I think the arts are so important to quality of life. And that building...
Are you listening, Donald Trump?
Thank you. That building is so amazingly historical. We walk into history every time that we walk through those doors. Mm-hmm. Beulah Bondi played on our stage. You know, Jimmy Stewart's mother from
A Wonderful Life.
One of your favorites.
Yeah.
And the Marx
Brothers. I find
that
so cool that she actually walked those boards.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
it's
then
amazing.
You watch her at Christmas time, and she's long dead now.
Oh.
But to know that she was there and she started there.
Her father ran the Opera House from like 1904 to 1910, Abraham Bondi. And it's just – it's amazing to me the amount of history. The Marx Brothers playing on our stage, John Philip Sousa, Teddy Roosevelt when he was stumping for vice president. I mean, there's been so many prolific names and people that have really changed the course of this country's history in the arts and politically and any way that you want to look at it have been on our stage. And you
it was
know,
a big hub for vaudeville
absolutely.
In Indiana. I mean,
absolutely.
All the Chicago shows would come here.
Yeah, so. And it's just – it's so exciting to me to know that every time that we walk through those doors. Like I said, I say that to people all the time. You're walking into history. And our mission is to increase opportunities for people to experience the arts in Porter County and beyond. Mm-hmm. And we have people now that are coming from Chicago and South Bend and Kalamazoo.
I know people in Michigan that drive out here.
Yeah. We have somebody coming from Georgia to one of the concerts this year, to the Willie Nile concert in a few weeks. And we have a group from Missouri of 60 people that were on a bus tour from like St. Louis to Detroit or something like that. Were one of their overnight stops in Valparaiso, and they were looking for a show to see. So they're coming to see Joseph this summer.
Wow.
And so it's just – it's so exciting because it's out there, and the word is spreading so much further than I think any of us imagined that it would 3-4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's really neat to be a part of, and it's an honor to be a part of it.
You're doing the repairs and the facelifting and everything very quickly. It's not a drawn-out project so that the opera house isn't functional or you got scaffolding all over.
Right.
It's getting done in a matter of days. When you set a project, it's there, it's
there.
Done.
Yes.
Like the face painting. The facelift, the painting inside that the opera house just got.
And yeah.
I stopped in over there not even realizing to talk to Rob Harkle, who does the concert series there with Brightside Music. And I walked in and I'm like, what the heck is this all about? And they were hand painting the opera boxes.
It was amazing to me.
With little brushes.
When Jeff Leverage came upstairs to my office and he said, you know, these Loge boxes, they have this really cool scroll work on them. Do you want us to hand paint those?
How much?
It took me about 5 seconds to say, do I want you to – yes, I want you to hand paint these. Of course. They're such a cool detail that's mm-hmm. been missed for so long, and now it's a really beautiful, you know, accessory to the building, and it really does.
And they're
pop.
Not that weird salmon color anymore.
No.
The coloring is nice in there.
Thank you. It's really warm, and that's what everybody has said when they walk in. You know, with the deeper green tone, and again, that weird salmon color is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Even though those were colors that were semi-original to the building, apparently, they just aren't timely, and they weren't warm, and they really didn't give the richness mm-hmm. of that building and the construction of that building. I mean, the Queen Anne style of that building with the curved walls and you know, just the plaster molding and everything, it really needs to be highlighted. And I don't feel like it was until, mm-hmm. you know, 3-4 weeks ago when they got done painting in there.
And something else was, as we mentioned, there was a lot of foundation work, a lot of wall work.
Yeah.
There was patchwork in there in the plaster. And, I mean, you understand it had to be done, but it was kind of an eyesore for the last year and a half or so. And I'm thinking, gosh, why can't they paint that? And then suddenly it was painted, and now it's done.
And it's beautiful.
And you've got the seats marked better. Didn't you put new carpeting in recently,
too? No, carpeting has been there
for
20 years.
It looks good.
It looks really good, and it looks better now.
Yeah.
And we marked up we marked the seat aisles a little bit better, made them a little more clear as to which mm-hmm. letter you were going into. That plaster work on the walls, they couldn't repaint it because it would just keep flaking off.
Right.
So what Leverage Painting and Decorating did for us is they scraped all that plaster down. They did a pH balancing, so they balanced all of that. They waterproofed it like 7 times.
Wow.
And they painted it. He had the same issue at the courthouse, so he knew what he was getting into with it. And I think he just did a beautiful job. And walking into to see those walls just blemish-free.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been involved with the Opera House for 10 years, and that's always been one of those things that's kind of made me twitch.
Right.
You know, when I walked in after I got back from vacation and saw that that was done, I was just like, oh, this is real.
The lounge bar area downstairs was redone last year.
Yep.
The box office was recently redone.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've got all the inside done.
Mm-hmm.
And Stretch is putting the finishing touches on the orchestra pit, which
is incredible.
Included a brand new director stand, I guess you call it.
Yep.
And he was wiring like plugs and everything into it. So it's like a giant hot box.
It is. And all of the musicians are able to plug everything that they need for their cables right into that box. So instead of having wires just kind of all over the world when you mm-hmm. look down there, it's just kind of this really clean.
They've even got USBs in there.
Yeah. Because he bought USB stand lights for everybody. So each music stand has its own USB light on it, and each music stand also has a monitor on it, and there's a camera on the conductor.
So they don't have to look up all the time.
So they don't have to look up from their music to watch the conductor.
Wow.
So, and they're iPad compatible.
Way to go, Stretch.
It's beautiful, because so many of the musicians, too, now are changing over to using iPads.
Mm-hmm.
With the different programs that are available. I'm a musician, so I can't talk about that too well. But they utilize those so they can plug right into the hotbox, and they're ready to rock.
Wow.
And it is the orchestra. We have 15 orchestra members for the producers, and they're the kind of maiden voyage of this thing, and they are loving it. They're like, this is so cool. They're like, We're community members. We're mm-hmm. teachers. We're lawyers. We're the same as your actors, but we just play instruments. And to have this level of professionalism mm-hmm. is just so cool.
And
to
again,
us.
It benefits the patrons.
It does. And I mean, it just makes everything so much better.
We've got so much going on at the Opera House. We're just going to touch on a few things. We're going to get to the actual prime season. As I mentioned, Brightside Music, Rob Harkle is doing shows there again. Mm-hmm. Willie Nile kicking things off. I love Willie. He's one of my dear friends.
Can't
I love
wait
the
for
guy.
That concert.
March 18th, he'll be there. We've got, I'm not sure who Don Duo Sequenza?
Duo Sequenza.
The Sequenza. Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with them.
They are actually. Deb Silvert is the flute player's name. She's local out of Chesterton, and she and Paul have been together for 25 years playing classical flute and guitar, and they play pieces specifically written for the flute and guitar.
Wow. And, didn't know there was that much out there.
I didn't either until I met them. And in January, they actually did a world premiere of a piece that was commissioned for them that was called Along the South Shore, and it was basically – the composer had written all the sounds that you hear along the South Shore line all the way from South Bend to Chicago. So it was this entire piece of just all these sounds that you hear in nature and on the train and everything written for these two. And it's amazing what they do.
And that is May 17th. So we got Willie Nile on March 18th, Duo Sequenza.
Yes.
On the May 17th. And then, of course, Roger McGuinn, a rock legend, Hall of Famer, member of the Byrds, a friend of Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
I mean, he's done everything.
Again, so excited
He'll
about
be
that.
Back June 3rd, just in time for my birthday. Honey Honey will be back. They're a great duo that does all kinds of quirky kind of alt
high
pop
energy.
Stuff. Very high energy. Saw them last year, and they did a great job. That's October 7th. And then another dear old friend of this show and mine, Michael McDermott, will be there with his lovely wife, Heather Horton, and their full band. Matter of fact, his new album just made my top 10. It was number one for 2016.
Nice.
Good stuff.
It is good stuff.
Willow Springs.
Yeah.
So that's the concerts coming up. And there may be a few more added along the way. There's always the Lunchtime Cabaret. Let's tell a little bit about that,
sure.
And then we'll get into the season.
Sure. The Lunchtime Cabarets, those are our Wednesday afternoon offering. We do them bi-monthly. So every other month, you can catch this. Mm-hmm. Coming up March 8th, we are doing Broadway Miscast. So we figured it's a great way to follow up the producers and with men singing some of the most famous songs that women have ever sang on the Broadway stage and women singing men's songs. And it just gives an opportunity for those of us that really hunger to sing some of these songs that mm-hmm. just aren't right for us because, you know, we're not black, we're not Asian, we're not a man, we're not a woman, whatever.
Right.
It gives us the opportunity to sing those songs and really put our own spin on it. So we're really excited about that. That's coming up March 8th at 1 p.m. in the afternoon.
These are one-time only shows, right?
Once, yeah.
Okay.
You miss it and it's gone. And then in May we'll be doing the songs of Joni Mitchell and James Taylor and Carole King, weaving a little bit of folk and jazz together. So
that's cool.
Really, really excited about that.
And then Andrew Lloyd Webber's coming.
Andrew
up.
Lloyd Webber is a big one. We of course are doing a huge Andrew Lloyd Webber show this summer. So it's another great way to just kind of plug the marketing into that. And then, of course, we'll do some Veterans Day salute in November and Christmas time. You know, we always do something really, really cool for Christmas and Christmas.
And don't forget, you get Bacharach in
exactly,
there
too. And Burt Bacharach in September. So,
and these are every other month, mm-hmm. and they are, as they say, lunchtime cabarets. Now, yep. Are they free? Are they cost?
No, they do cost. It's $13 for adults and $11 for students and seniors. So it's practically
90-minute show, 2 hours,
45 an hour.
Okay,
so
it's quick. You're in,
yep.
You're out. You bring
exactly.
your lunch in.
Yeah, you can. We won't object to it. But a lot of people, what they do is they go to one of the local Valpo restaurants. And they grab lunch beforehand or afterwards. We always usually haul over to Casa del Mar or one of those places afterwards as a crew and spend the afternoon there. And it's a lot of fun. And we always see these pretty much sell out.
Okay.
And so they're going really, really fast. The tickets are going very quickly for them. They're great for groups. It's a great, you know, just way to kind of escape the day.
You've got how many seats?
350.
So it's very intimate, no matter where you sit, including the balcony.
Not a bad seat in the house.
That's something to stress. You know, you think you go to a show and you get the nosebleed seats. Even nosebleed seats are closer than a lot of other venues.
Exactly. And, you know, our nosebleed seats, we have four of them.
Yeah.
But they're, I think they're the best seats in the house. It's where I prefer to sit, so...
All of this stuff is on the website. Again, you can find out more about each of the shows. We're just skimming over right now at mohlive.com or go to Memorial Opera House. Is memorialoperahouselive.com?
Memorialoperahouse.com. Yep.
Or mohlive.com. Either way, we'll get you there. And there's also some fundraisers we'll talk about.
But yeah.
First, let's get into this great season.
And sure.
What do you say we open up with a song? We haven't done a song
sure.
yet.
Sure.
Let's play a song from the opening production of The Producers. And this one's called We Can Do It.
Yes.
Is that correct? All right. This is We Can Do It. We'll be back with Scott McDonald.
That's me.
After this.
You see Bloom. Darling Bloom, glorious Bloom. It's so simple. Step one, we find the worst play ever written. Step two, we hire the worst director in town. Step three, I raise $2 million.
Two?
Yes, one for me, one for you. There's a lot of little old ladies out there. Step four, we hire the worst actors in New York and open up Broadway. And before you can say step five, we close on Broadway. Take our $2 million and go to Rio.
Rio? Nah, that'd never work.
Oh, ye of little faith. What did Lewis say to Clark when everything looked bleak? What did Sir Edmund say to Tenzing as they struggled toward Everest Peak? What did Washington say to his troops as they crossed the Delaware? I'm sure you're well aware.
What'd they say?
We can do it. We can do it. We can do it, me and you. We can do it. We can do it. We can make our dreams come true. Everything you've ever wanted is just waiting to be had. Beautiful girls wearing nothing but pearls, caressing you, undressing you, and driving you mad. We can do it. We can do it. This is not the time to shirk. We can do it. You won't rue it. Say goodbye to Petty Clerk. Hi, producer. Yes, producer. I mean you, sir. Go berserk. We can do it. We can do it. And I know it's gonna work. What do you say, Bloom?
What do I say? Finally a chance to be a Broadway producer. What do I say? Finally a chance to make my dreams come true, sir. What do I say? What do I say? Here's what I say to you, sir. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it, that's not me. I'm a loser, I'm a coward, I'm a chicken, don't you see? When it comes to wooing women, there's a few things that I lack. Beautiful girls wearing nothing but pearls, chasing me, embracing me, I'd have an attack.
Why, you miserable, cowardly, wretched little caterpillar. Don't you ever want to become a butterfly? Don't you want to spread your wings and flap your way to glory? We can do it.
Mr. Viola, stop,
we can
stop
do
the
it.
Song. You've got me
we
wrong. I've stayed so long,
like
I'm not as strong a
grail.
Person as you think.
We can do it.
Mr. Viola,
we
stop,
can do it.
Look. I'm not
drink
a crook.
Champagne,
I'm just a
not
bottom
ginger
line
ale.
Is
come on, Leo.
I can't
get you, Leo.
You see Rio, I see
jail. We can do it.
I can do it.
We can do it.
I can do it
because
I know it's gonna fail.
We can do it. I know
it's
we cannot
fail.
We can can do it. Of course we can. We are the Memorial Opera House and team. Scott McDonald in the studio with us, and producers is the first of the new season. It's opening up on the 17th, just around the corner here.
Yeah, Friday.
Now we've got one of the characters from the producers, Roger Debris.
Yes,
played by local actor Andy Brent. And Roger, well, I don't know, I should call you Roger or Andy. Who's with me tonight?
Hello, the living room of renowned theatrical director Roger Debris, Upper East Side Town Home on a sunny Tuesday afternoon in June. Who may I say is calling?
This is Tom Lounges, and you are with the one and only Scott P.J. McDonald as well.
Ah, yeah. Here's Roger.
How is the, this is Tech Week, which is the hectic time that those of us that aren't in theater don't understand. What exactly is going on there tonight at the Opera House?
Oh, indeed. This is Roger Debris speaking from the Memorial Opera House. And we are currently doing one of our dress rehearsals. It is a run, as we say in theater terms.
A run.
And what that means is they're running the show from top to bottom. Costumes, makeup, lights, camera, action, everything.
All the cues. Wow. What's the hardest part about the producers and the role of Roger Debris?
The hardest part is the high heels.
I don't know if I want to ask about that any further. Do I?
Well, it's a pretty great surprise.
I think you just need to come see.
Okay.
It's a pretty great surprise.
All right. Now, Scott, you have, as you mentioned, a lot of the patrons have helped pick the lineup for the season. Mm-hmm. Why the producers? What was and what is it about the producers that you and your cast here would like to?
It's such a funny show. With everything that's going on in the world, it's such a great way to just completely escape from everything. Mel Brooks is absolutely ridiculous. The writing in the show is insane, and it's that kind of thing that could never happen, hopefully, in the theater world, where mm-hmm. a show is just an absolute bomb, but it's amazing. And Andy plays a large part in making the show within the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those shows that when I saw it years ago with Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick, I was like, this is something that we have got to do. And Andy has been just wonderful to work with as Roger. He is having so much fun with it, and it's
it sounds like it.
It's one of those shows that you can just kind of be a complete goofball with, wouldn't you say, Andy?
Absolutely.
Now,
absolutely.
Have you ever done this production before, Andy?
No, I haven't. This is my first time.
What is it about producers that made you want to do this?
Number one, Mel Brooks. I'm a huge fan. Everything he does is over the top, stereotypical, farcical. I mean, it's just a laugh a minute. And like Scott said, I am having so much fun. I think this entire cast is having so much fun. And that will convey to the audience. They're going to have a lot of fun when they see it, because it's very, very funny.
How many acts is the producer?
Two.
It's two acts.
Okay. How long does it run then?
With intermission, probably about 2.5 hours.
Okay.
So it's a quick little show, and it flies by because it's so funny. And Andy has a great turn in Act 2, like I said, during the show, within the show. And Andy, I don't know how much you want to give away about that.
We'll just say that there's no greater dictator in the land. How about that?
Oh, I don't know. Depends what generation we're talking about. Andy, where are you from? And you've obviously been part of the Memorial Opera House team for a while, correct?
I have. I've been a volunteer here since about 2010. I'm originally from South Bend. I moved over here several years ago. I live in Hobart currently.
Oh, we're neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And how long at Memorial Opera House? And obviously, when you're in acting, I know most of the actors that visit this show have played for other production companies, other venues, other houses. Have you obviously played outside of Memorial Opera House? And if so...
Oh, absolutely.
What is
I've
it about...
theater.
Go ahead.
I've done theater all my life, so that's a very long time. I did do a show at 4th Street some years ago. I was out at the Dunes in Michigan City a few years ago. This is probably my third or fourth production here. I did a bunch of community theater in South Bend just throughout the years.
How would you rank?
Young age.
How would you rank this wonderful old theater, this Memorial Opera House, compared to more of the contemporary venues out there?
It's just charming. It has so much character. and charm. And you walk in and it's like, wow, you know, this is so cool. I mean, even before the show starts, you're kind of in awe, especially with all the improvements they've been doing, just really bringing it back to life and sprucing it up and making it very welcoming and warm. And the staff is incredible, and that adds a lot to the energy as well.
Okay. Well, Andy, I know you are very busy right now getting things done over there, so we're going to let you go. We're going to play another song real quick, and we're going to talk about the rest of the season, When You Got It, Flaunt It. Mm-hmm. Who sings this in the production?
That would be Ulla Inga Hansen Janssen Tallen Valen Salen Swenson.
That's the name of the
That's
character?
That's her first name.
All right. We are looking forward to this. Andy, any final comments?
Just thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right.
I'll see the show.
I will definitely do that. And as we like to say, break a leg. Or two.
Or a heel.
Or a heel, yeah. All right. This is from the producers, When You Got It, Flaunt It.
When you got it, flaunt it. Step right up and strut your stuff. People tell you modesty's a virtue, but in the theater modesty can hurt you. When you got it, flaunt it. Show your assets, let them know you're proud. Your goodies you must push, stick your chest out, shake your tush. When you got it, shout it out loud. Now Ulla dance. When you got it, show it. Put your hidden treasures on display. Violinists love to play an E string, but audiences really love a cheese string. When you got it, shout it. Let's the whole world hear what you're about. Oh, clothes may make a man. All a girl needs is a tan. When you got it, let it hang out. Remember when Ulla danced?
Yeah.
Ulla dance again! Oh. Oh. A little girl in Sweden. My thoughtful mother gave me this advice. If nature blesses you from top to bottom.
When you've got it, you gotta flaunt it.
That's, right.
That's for sure.
Yeah, just playing the character has definitely got it.
Scott McDonald in the studio with us. We just had Andy Brent, who's now back slaving away on the boards over at Memorial Opera House, getting ready for this great production, The Producers, which opens up on the 17th. And generally, how long does each play run?
The shows each run 3 weekends.
Okay.
So we
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Okay. Fridays and Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 2. And we run 3 weekends. We do a preview night on our final dress rehearsal. It's called Theater for a New Audience. And it's an opportunity for people to come see the show that don't normally get a chance to go to the theater because of socioeconomic reasons, disabilities, whatever reason they have that they really aren't able to be a regular participant in the theater. They are able to come and watch the show for free and mm-hmm. really get to enjoy the same show that our audiences that pay are going to see. So.
I find that a lot of people who have never gone to live theater and experience it become fans.
Oh, yeah.
Not everyone, but most
Absolutely.
Of them. Absolutely. I've had some of my burly friends that, yeah. oh, I'm not going to go see that. You know, and they see a show and it's like, well, that wasn't so bad.
Exactly. And you see things on the stage that you never get really a chance to see on, like, the movie or TV mm-hmm. or anything like that. You can't see those things on the bigger, small screen. And we get one shot to do it, you know?
Right.
You can't do multiple takes
right.
in a live show. It's like, oh, hey, you missed your cartwheel. You missed your cartwheel. We can't say, hold on, folks.
Let's redo that.
And redo that, you know?
And what's neat, too, is at Memorial Opera House, one of the other things that you have done, along with all the physical building stuff, is you've gotten state-of-the-art sound, state-of-the-art mm-hmm. lights. You've gotten multiple rear projection screens
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like you got one and you got addicted, and Stretch is just like, I need more.
I know. I feel kind of bad because it was my idea. And I was at a theater in New Jersey, the Paper Mill Playhouse out in Millburn, New Jersey. And they transfer a lot of shows to Broadway. Mm-hmm. And we saw a production there that was a world premiere. And a lot of their set was all projected. And I talked to their TD afterwards, their tech director, and he was like, yeah, we use rear projection, and it's an entire wall. And I was like, well, I want a projection wall.
Yeah.
So we worked on a grant.
Now, you still do the old-fashioned sets,
but
you incorporate the walls.
Absolutely. And so now we have a 30-foot screen that runs behind the main set, and we rear project onto that one. And we have three screens that are on independent motors that go up and down, so we can project on those at different
times. Are those front projections?
Those are front projected.
Okay.
So
Stretch has his hands full with all these gizmos.
He was all over the theater today on ladders and, you know, just up in the attic and trying to find the best place to locate all of these for
no
the
wonder
best
he had
shot
to go full time.
Right, exactly.
I don't know how he keeps track of everything there.
I don't either.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff you
I
guys have added.
No idea. He does so many great things.
New microphones now, too. Everything.
All sorts of things. And, you know, he's constantly got an inventory for me of, you know, this is what we need to look at, and we want to look at replacing this and upgrade
Scott,
this.
We need more money.
I know, right? That's why, okay.
There's a new toy on the market.
New grant.
Five shows a year in your seasons. The next one up after the producers coming up April 28th through May 14th is The Drowsy Chaperone.
Yeah.
I've never heard this. And I'm looking at the artwork on it. It looks very flapper-esque, 1920s, speakeasy-ish.
Yes, it really is. It's it's a really, really funny show. It's takes place in this gentleman's apartment who he's known as the Man in Chair. That's the character's
name.
Man
in Chair.
Man in Chair. That's his name. And he comes out and he kind of expresses his disdain for theater at the beginning of the show and how even though he's not a huge theater fan, it's what gets him through his darkest days. And when he's having a really crummy day, he sits down and listens to his favorite musicals. So, you know, like
so
I said.
So he's a closet fan.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And so he starts the audience kind of into this story, and he's like, this is one of my favorite musicals, and it's called The Drowsy Chaperone. And when he puts it on his record player, the whole musical comes to life in his apartment. So there's these two gangsters that are disguised as pastry chefs for this wedding and are trying to break up this wedding, and they walk out of his refrigerator, and the chaperone to
so
the bride.
So it's a set within a set.
It's a set within a set, and they all become the different elements of the show. John and Colleen Peluso, who have been involved with our theater for, 15 years, they're directing it, and the ideas that they have are just absolutely incredible and so exciting. The chaperone kind of riding out on the Murphy bed in one scene, and from a wall, she just kind of appears on the Murphy bed, and just utilizing coffee tables and ottomans as different set pieces. And we have to get a plane on stage for this show, and they're already figuring out how to create the plane. And
wow.
It's one of those shows that's
I've never
so
heard of this
off
show,
the wall.
And I'm excited
so
about
funny
seeing it. I like seeing new plays. You know, you've seen Oklahoma, and you've
exactly
seen all these other ones a million times.
Exactly.
You know,
and
Sound of Music.
It's
this
a relatively
is
new
different
piece. It's probably in the last 10 years. It ran on Broadway for about 3-4 years, and it got really great reviews. Sutton Foster was in it as Janet Van de Graaff, who is the leading lady, Ingenue. And it's just one of those shows that's just absolutely charming. And again, it's so off the wall, but it's so funny, and it's just so honestly sincere and naive, and just it's a sweet show. So we're really, really excited to be offering that in this season.
Well, you've got a couple that are more established that folks might know the music from, so let's make sure we get to something from this one. This is from Drowsy Chaperone. It's a song called We Stumble Along, and we'll stumble back with Scott McDonald right after this.
As we stumble along on life's funny journey, as we stumble along into the blue, we look here and we look there, seeking answers anywhere, never sure of where to turn or what to do. Still we bumble our way, through life's crazy labyrinth, barely knowing left from right, nor right from wrong. And the best that we can do is hope a bluebird will sing his song as we stumble along. It's a dismal little world in which we live. It can bore you till you've nothing left to give. 7 overrated wonders, 7 underwhelming seas, 6 excruciating continents, Antarctica. Oh, please. Still, you mustn't let it lick you. This planet, oh, so bland. Keep your eyeball on the highball in your hand. As we stumble along, cross life's crowded dance floors, as we push and we shove, we live and we learn. And when we finally leave the bar, and we see that morning star, we pull our bootstraps up and homeward turn. Then we stumble away through dawn's blinding sunbeams, barely knowing right from right, nor left from wrong. But as long as we can hear that little
sustain that note for a while.
That's what she does.
Stumbling as we stumble along. And we have stumbled back into the studios here at Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm Tom Lounges. This is Midwest Beat, taking a break from some of the rock and roll and blues that we normally do and taking it to the theater, the Great White Way. Only this time it's the Great Lincoln Way, Indiana,
sure,
Street,
sure,
whatever. Valparaiso Memorial Opera House is the focus tonight. Scott McDonald, who is the... what is your title exactly?
I'm the business director there.
You wear so many hats. I don't
know
what to call you anymore.
I don't know what to call myself anymore either, so it's fine.
Okay. The business director and also one of the creative people behind this and the leader of the team.
Yeah. Very fortunate guy. So
yeah. I mean, and you started out as a volunteer.
I did. In 2007.
You climbed... now you have a bathroom office.
I do. I have an office that used to be a bathroom.
With a gas line coat hangers.
Exactly. I mean, nothing but the best.
Memorial Opera House has, if you haven't been there in a while, you need to go because of all the different renovations that have been done. And as we mentioned, just this year, all painting is done inside. We've got new orchestra pits. Everything's been ship-shaped.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen it this season, you need to come back just to see the theater alone, let alone some of these great productions. And that one, of course, Drowsy Chaperone, like I said, I'd never heard of that, and I plan on seeing that because it just sounds so cool, and it takes place in my favorite decade, the Roaring Twenties. The next one up, though, is something that we see a lot. From high school to community theater to even the bigger rooms are playing it again. It's Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Why does that show never get old?
Because there are so many different ways to present it.
Okay.
It's one of those shows that you can present, you know, either in the biblical era, in the modern era. You could set it in the
20s. Kind of like Godspell.
It's like Godspell. And exactly. You can do so many different things with it. And the music just remains fresh. It's such well-written music, and it's just – it's one of those shows that people flock to. And they know it, and it's just, it's high energy. It's fun. It's got kind of that, you know, synth pop, late mm-hmm. 70s, early 80s vibe going on for it. And I think it's just...
I always think of Donny Osmond.
Absolutely.
Always. I can't get him out
absolutely.
Of my head.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, the Elvis character, the Pharaoh.
The Pharaoh. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You should audition.
So that's in July.
Yes.
So Joseph, Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, a popular favorite, biblical saga of Joseph and his many-colored coat.
Yep.
Making quite a fashion statement in the desert there.
Yes, exactly. And it's going to be quite the statement on stage. Kirk Gillens, who works with the Chamber of Commerce, is actually directing it.
Hmm.
And some of the ideas that he has for the set are just incredible. He's kind of going with a disco vibe for the show
okay.
throughout.
So it'll
I'm
be
really
a little
excited.
Different than we've
yeah.
seen.
Yeah, very, very excited.
Next up, no music, but a lot of laughs. You can't take it with you from in September through part of October, beginning of October.
Yep.
What's that about?
That is kind of the original girl has a absolutely crazy family. Girl falls in love with a normal boy next door story, and normal boy is bringing his family to dinner to meet girl's crazy family. She's trying to straighten them all up, and
sounds
normal
like an
family shows
of,
up on the wrong night.
Sounds like an episode of Everybody Loves Raymond.
Exactly. Exactly. Or, you know, it's just kind of that classic romance of where everything that could possibly go wrong goes wrong, but everybody mm-hmm. winds up happily ever after.
Is it a big
end.
Cast?
About 15 people.
Okay.
The entire family consists of, you know, the grandfather who's the patriarch of the family and the mother who can't decide what she wants to be when she grows up. One day she wants to be a writer, the next day she wants to be an artist. The next day she wants to be a sculptor.
Mm-hmm.
The other daughter that's a ballerina and makes candy. There's her husband and his best friend that basically reside in the basement of the house making fireworks because that's their business.
I saw a local production of that many years back. And I remember it being quite funny.
It's hilarious. I've done the show twice. And I played two different characters in it. And it's one of those shows that is just... It's fun
it
to be a part
of. It reminded me
of
Soap. Remember the old
Absolutely.
Soap?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so many dysfunctional people.
Exactly.
With all the little voices in their heads. And
exactly.
They all lived in one house.
Yes.
And it's definitely funny. If you see it, go check that out. That's September, and it runs through the beginning of October. Mm-hmm. I do want to get on the special show that's coming up.
Sure.
But first, we have to... talk about the Christmas show, which, of course, is not a favorite of mine, but you are determined to make me like it.
I am determined to make you like
it. It's Gene Shepherd's A Christmas Story, and nothing against Gene, but I'm so tired of A Christmas Story. I'm tired of hearing about Red Riders.
I understand
I'm
that.
I'm tired of the leg lamp. And I know I'll probably get hate mail from everybody that loves those leg lamps, but it just wears me out.
Sure.
And 24 hours on TV.
I know.
Mean, really?
It's a lot. It's in your face a lot the holiday mm-hmm. season, and I know we're not helping. But this is the regional premiere of the musical of it, and every
see, I
number,
didn't know there was a musical
yes,
version. So
it's it ran on Broadway, and the two men that wrote it have actually had a lot of success, and they're like in their 30s. The two guys that wrote this show, but they have a huge show on Broadway right now called Dear Evan Hansen that is just taking off. And the music from A Christmas Story, it's wonderful because you get all of these moments with Ralphie's fantasies mm-hmm. from
it follows
dealing,
the same storyline.
Exact same storyline.
Okay.
And it adds the songs. And, you know, there's a whole production number with dancing leg lamps. So I'm sure you'll be ready for that.
Oh, my God.
You know, there's the entire fantasy with, you know, Santa Claus at the top of Mount Olympus. Oh, what do you want, little boy?
Now, have you ever done this one before?
No.
Okay,
no.
So that's why you're so excited.
I'm very excited about it. I saw a production of it a few years ago in Ohio, and it's just captivating because every number is huge, and it's just – it's a great show for children to be in.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, it's the same way as the movie is where everything is kind of like right over kids' heads and aimed
yep.
at adults.
Yep.
And kind of the cynical humor that Gene Shepherd has, it's all right there. And Tom Wopat actually originated the role of Gene Shepherd on Broadway.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And it's just it's
I would not have thought of him as
and the script is hilarious. It's kind of a fresh take on what we see.
All right, you've kind of sold me. I'm curious now.
Okay,
you've piqued my interest a bit with the musical and the fact that you've got so many special effects and things. And that starts around Thanksgiving and runs through, mid-December?
Yeah, December 13th or 14th, something
okay.
like that.
So those are the five shows we're going to see in the 2017 season. Once again, producers, The Drowsy Chaperone, Joseph, The Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, You Can't Take It With You, and A Christmas Story. Now, you can get those individually or you can buy a season ticket.
You can buy a season ticket.
And
you
it's always better
pass.
To do that, right?
Always. always
recommend
that.
What's a FlexPass?
FlexPass allows you, so instead of saying, I have to come to the theater on opening Friday night and I'm sitting in seats F1 and F3,
okay.
If you are busy and you have family in town or anything along those lines, if you have a FlexPass, as long as there's seats available, we will get you in the door.
All right. Sounds good. And again, MOH Live or MemorialOperaHouse.com. You can find all the information on these. Real quickly, you mentioned children, and I do want to mention, and again, you can get all the details online,
mm-hmm.
Children's Theater Camp.
Yep.
So young folks in the area that are interested in theater can get their feet wet, so to speak.
Yes, yes.
And these go on throughout the year?
Yeah, we just revamped our children's theater program. It's called The Limelights now, so it's an opportunity to play in the limelight. And we have two pop-up classes that we're doing on Saturdays. Mm-hmm. And again, it gives kids a chance to get their feet wet. We have this upcoming Saturday, the 18th, we have our first one. We have 50 kids signed up for it already.
Gosh.
We were planning on like having 10. So if that tells you anything about how much there's a demand for this. Then we have another one in March where we're taking a fairy tale and turning it into a play in one afternoon. We already have 30 kids signed up for that.
Now, if I remember right, when we talked, this was something that was very passionate, that you were very passionate
absolutely.
About.
Absolutely.
It was not just the acting, but also to show them how to build sets.
The education
and
angle.
Blocking
of it.
Out
yes.
and producing and directing. Mm-hmm. Everything about
that there's
a live
so
production.
So much involved in a live production besides what you see on that stage.
So even
stage.
If you're a little introverted and don't want to get on stage, you can be part of theater.
Absolutely.
And that's important for kids to know.
Absolutely.
And maybe eventually you'll step into the limelight and get out of your
Hoping
shell a little
so.
Bit.
So. Hoping so. So.
The show that I know I'm excited about, and I just got my tickets for, I don't know how many have sold already, but I want to be the
Selling
first
fast.
In line. Ed Asner,
yep.
one of my favorite actors of all time, former SAG guy and all this stuff. And that's a man and his prostate,
yeah.
a one-man show. How do you have a show about a prostate?
I'm not entirely sure.
This is kind of really confusing me.
But it's all about his survival with prostate cancer mm-hmm. and told in only the way that Ed Asner can tell it. So
I've
I'm
seen
sure
some of his one-man plays,
hysterical.
And they are brilliant.
Oh, he's a genius.
I don't know how he does it.
He is a genius. And
he does so many characters, and it's just him.
Yeah.
And you actually can visualize the people he's talking
yes.
to.
Yeah, and that's exactly what this is. It's the
gift.
Same sort of story. And just about his travels around the world and how he dealt with everything. And it's so, so exciting. And when we got the phone call from his publicist, Natalie said, Ed Asner's agent is on the phone. And I looked at her and said, Lou Grant? Wait, what? Lou Grant's on the other line? So we were really, really excited. And it was one of those things that I brought before the Memorial Opera House Foundation. They've mm-hmm. decided to make it their annual fundraiser.
I was going to say, this actually helps the Opera House.
It does.
So the tickets are a little higher than normal.
It does.
But every penny goes to keep this
every
great theater going.
Every penny goes towards our preservation. We're working on a couple different projects. We're looking, now that we've got the interior all mm-hmm. really nice and happy, now we're moving to the exterior of the building. So we're looking at doing some of the things like tuck pointing the building and replacing some of the brick that
and this
you know,
show
is 125
will help
years
that.
Old. And this will help make that happen.
Does Ed Asner know this is going to be keeping this theater alive? Does
yes,
he know
does.
Yet?
And he is very, very excited about it. So he can't wait to talk to you here in a few weeks either. So
yeah, we're going to have Ed hopefully on the show if everything goes well.
Yeah.
All the stars align. So we're going to talk to him about that. I saw him with his FDR show.
And that was
and
so good.
That was brilliant.
Oh, amazing.
So, but that's an actual topic you can do.
Yeah.
I want to know how he's going to keep our attention about a prostate.
I'm sure it's going to be captivating, if nothing else.
Hopefully he doesn't bring any of his scopes with him.
Visual aids.
All right. MemorialOperaHouse.com, MOHLive.com. You can find out all about Ed Asner's prostate. You can find out about the new season we've talked about, the children's group and camp that's there, all the great concerts that Brightside Music is bringing with. Scott, we're going to close out with a song from the producers here. We probably won't get to all of it, so we'll fade on it. But
no
is there
problem.
Anything else that we haven't touched on that you'd like to?
I think that we have covered absolutely everything that we can. Tom, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. This
all
has
right.
been great.
We love this place. We're happy to have Memorial Opera House and their staff here anytime. This is from friend, sell this for me.
Sure, absolutely. This is from the producers. This is one of the biggest production numbers in Act Two, and it is the Broadway flop that the producers are trying to put up, and it's called Springtime for Hitler. I think the name speaks for itself.
All right. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you, Scott.
Germany absolutely.
Needed a new leader to restore its former glory. Where, oh, where was he? Where could that man be? We looked around, and then we found the man for you.
and Germany. Deutschland is happy and king. We're marching to a faster pace. Look out, here comes